I'd like to share with you from Romans today. So go to Romans chapter 11. We're going to be in Romans chapter 11 for a little bit. My wife and I just recently finished reading through the book of Romans, and what a fantastic read it was. It's been a while since I've just read through the book of Romans like that, and I was captured by the mercy of God. The mercy of God. And Romans chapter 11 speaks of the mercy of God, and it speaks of the mercy of God in two different context, in the context of the Jewish people, the Jewish nation, in the context of the Gentiles. Follow along with me as I begin reading in verse 30. So I'm in Romans 11, in verse 30. It says, "For as you in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief." Now you might say, well, who are we talking about? Well, let's clarify that. For as you in times past, he's speaking to the Roman church, Christians, primarily Gentiles. But so he's speaking to them. So you in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Whose unbelief? The Jewish people. Israel's unbelief. You have obtained mercy through their unbelief. And so the Jewish nation, the Jewish people, and you know, if you read through the Bible, you know how they rejected God time and time again. Jesus Christ came and was on the earth and they rejected him as a nation. And so here, as Paul's writing, he's speaking of the mercy of God and how the Gentiles have benefited because the Jews rejected Christ. If you look in Acts, Paul went to the synagogues first, but when the Jews rejected him, he looked at the Jews and he said, "I now go to the Gentiles." And God's message of salvation is not confined to the Jewish people. They rejected it, and so therefore, God's propelled out his messengers to the Jewish world, or to the Gentile world. And this is us. We are the part of the Gentile world. A few of you may be Jewish, but we are living in the context of a Gentile world. And so we have benefited, we have obtained mercy. That's the benefit. And that's huge. The mercy of God is such a massive, marvelous, wonderful benefit. Matchless. Because you're talking about the Almighty, Holy God, sovereign, who has shown mercy, who has shown to us and given to us his grace. You see, we don't have what we really deserve because of the mercy of God. So we're reading on now. So remember who we're speaking of. Verse 31, "Even so have these also now not believed." Jewish people. "That through your mercy they also may obtain mercy." This is exciting because the Gentile church, the Gentile people have received the mercy of God. Therefore, then, the Jewish people will receive the mercy of God as a result of the Gentile people ministering to the Jewish nation. It's a tremendous plan of God. But notice all the talk about mercy. Mercy, mercy, mercy. Verse 32, "For God hath concluded," or shut them up altogether, "them that all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. And so this glorious thought of mercy is flooding Paul's mind. And I love when I read through Paul. And I want you to do this. When you're reading through the Apostle Paul's writings, pay attention, because he's going to make some profound thoughts and some things that are going to make your mind spin. And usually, right after that, he's going to sing. He's going to praise, because he has just written something that he doesn't even understand completely. It's so amazing that he just breaks out into worship. And this is what we see here, because he has just talked about his own people, and he's talked about the mercy of God. And so then what he says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. I mean, what do you see or hear there? You hear, wow, wow, my God is awesome. And you're at a loss for words. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. Don't you enjoy Paul's heart of praise? I mean, what it does for us as readers is it helps us get beyond the drudgery of the black and the white in the pages. Because as you're reading along and some of these profound thoughts, sometimes you can just get lost in them. But when we read what the Apostle Paul writes and what he says here, and how he takes the profoundness of the mercy of God and then he just worships. What does it do to you? What's it do to me? It forces me, it pushes me to worship myself. Not worship me, but worship God, myself. When was the last you reflected on the mercy that God has shown to you? Do you deserve that mercy that he's shown to you? So often we could live that way. Oh, it's just another one of the benefits of knowing God. Right? But that's not the attitude we see here, is it? Is it a benefit of knowing God? Oh, it is. But this is a marvelous, too much for words. Because you have the mercy of God, you aren't facing the judgment that you deserve. Church, think about it this way. All of us know people who will face, or who are at this point in time, destined to face that judgment. They are living in unbelief. There's people in your mind right now, aren't there? That you know they're living in unbelief. Now, I know that God shows mercy and grace and the just and the unjust and all that, but no, he's not going to save everybody. No, he doesn't. Not everybody trusts him. Not everybody believes. But he has that heart. He has that desire that all come to repentance. And so here we sit in this church beneficiaries of the incredible mercy of God. And may that not only spur us to worship, but may it spur us to witness. For there are people we know who have not experienced that mercy. But there's even more here. Because when the Bible was originally written, inspired, it didn't have verses and chapter divisions. And so, let me read for you verse 1 of chapter 12 in the context of what we've just read in chapter 11. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the... What? What? Say it. The mercies of God. Now, where'd that come from? Is that a new thought? No. That's his last thought. He just was worshiping God over. And now what does he say? Speaking to the church, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Now, because of the mercies of God in your life, pay attention. You present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Worship and witness. Because we have the mercies of God, the scriptures tell us how we ought to live. Because we have the incredible mercy of God in our life should reflect that in our worship and in our witness. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know what? We have a hard time. I'll speak for myself. I have a hard time with this because I am very important to Josh. And the things that I like to do and want to do are very important to Josh. And my family is very important to Josh. My time. You get the point. These are all very important things for me, and they're not bad. But yet, the call for us is to present our bodies a living sacrifice. To present ourselves to the Lord. Why? Because we've benefited from His mercy. And so we live with this mindset that I'm a living sacrifice for my God. Because He has shown me mercy, He wants to use my life. He wants me to be in submission to Him, like the lamb on the altar, submissive to the priest. We are to be submissive in the hand of God, submissive to the hand of God in our lives. And to live with that kind of mission, that kind of heart. Living sacrifice, it's holy and it's acceptable unto God. It's your reasonable service. God has shown you mercy, church. God has shown me mercy. And so we ought to live as a living sacrifice. Notice it says, presenting yourselves. This is not a forced throwing them on the altar. No, you're presenting. Here I am, Lord. Here's my marriage. Here's my family. Here's your church. Here it is. It's holy, acceptable. It's my reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Notice what it says, that you may prove. Prove to whom? Who cares? Who's watching? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I want to submit to you today that God desires you and I to live as living sacrifices, to present ourselves as living sacrifices, wholly acceptable unto Him. Because there's a watching world out there that is looking for the truth. There's a watching world out there that needs to benefit from the mercy of God that has been shown to you. And so you worship by offering your life, and you witness by the transforming, renewing power of the Spirit in your life that the world watches and sees, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. People are watching. Maybe it's not the unsaved out there. Maybe it's some in the church watching. And your life could be a life that challenges them to make changes and live with purpose. That's the beauty of the church, is that we're together in this. We walk together. We worship God together. And yes, we watch one another and we see people making good, right choices. And what does it do? It encourages us to do the same. Ultimately, we live to please God. He's the one who has shown us mercy. And so, church, the exhortation for us today is, what's my view of mercy? How do I view the mercy of God in my life? Is the mercy of God something that is that important to me that it causes me to stop and worship? That incredible of something that I'm at a loss of words to even try to describe it? Is the mercy of God a motivating factor in your life to affect change? To propel a life that's lived on mission for the Lord? That you live and breathe Jesus Christ and living for Him. That's what it says. By the mercies of God, it says. And so, we worship because God has shown us mercy. We witness because God has shown us mercy. And He's not yet done showing mercy to others. Yes, there will come a day. But it's not come yet. And so may we be faithful in showing mercy, displaying God's mercy, and talking about God's mercy, so that the world might know and others will be saved. Ultimately, why? For the glory of God. Lord, it's been special to consider these things and to rejoice in your mercy. It's been special to reflect on what we've seen you do in the last year, and it's exciting to consider the opportunities before us. I thank you, Lord, for this message that is encouraging my heart to get beyond myself and to realize how wonderful your mercy is. And then it's not just something for me to say thank you, it's something for me to say, I'll go. I'll share. Lord, I pray for converts. I pray, Lord, that this church would see people saved this year. I pray that we would see those people come and be a part of this fellowship. And I pray, Lord, that you would raise up men and women who have a heart to disciple, who have a heart to come alongside of these who come to know the Lord and to raise them up. I pray, Lord, that we would not be distracted by the things of the world. Boy, that, Lord, is so, so prevalent. So I thank you for this image, this picture of a living sacrifice, of holiness, of it being acceptable to you. And may that be true for us. In Jesus' name, amen.